So you're in the market for a new home, or just bought one, and curious about its history. When was it built? Who were its previous occupants? Most sellers would have some of this information, but would that tell the whole story? Richard Crabtree is a realtor with Murney Associates in Springfield, who, in addition to his day job, spends countless hours digging up historical data on properties. In fact, the back of his business card reads, Realtor, Historian, Restorer.
Some people want to find out, do we have any original pictures? Can we find the family? Can we find some pictures of the outside, maybe the inside? They want to see the background. They want to kind of see, has the house been altered?
I recently met Crabtree at the Greene County Archives, just north of the courthouse on Boonville Avenue. It's here the longtime historian begins his investigations.
As you can see over here, a lot of these books are the original tax records, and those typically don't lie.
Crabtree started researching homes in his own neighborhood of University Heights in 2007. It expanded from there to include a historical publication he delivers about once a quarter to homes and restaurants in and around Roundtree and Phelps Grove. 2 years ago, Crabtree began sharing his work on Facebook, which is where he'll get a majority of research requests. On this day, he's trying to identify the origin of a home at 521 East Lauren. First, understand that any home built in Springfield before 1948 likely has a different address than it does today. That's the year, according to Crabtree, a lot of the city's street numbers changed, some by a couple numbers, others by a couple hundred. Researchers are advised to look up the name of the owner or the 1947 address year equivalent.
I'm going to open up the Sanborn map.
The pages of this large, fragile book published by the Sanborn Map Company more than 75 years ago are held together by layers of duct tape. You can zero in on specific neighborhoods and from there a single lot, which shows its address number prior to 1948.
So here's Lauren, and here's 521. And 521 used to be 455. So then we write that down.
More on how that original address is helpful later on, but next, Crabtree will use the current address to pull up a tax description. He does this through the Greene County Assessor's website on his smartphone.
And then we scroll down here, and then we see it's Roanoke Edition, lot number 94.
He jots that information down on his legal pad, then dives into the Greene County land tax books.
So we're now going to look for Roanoke Edition. But what we're looking for is lot number 94.
The land tax books, which indicate lot prices and ownership, are printed from June 2nd through June 1st of the following year. Here, we're looking through the 1924-25 edition. Crabtree finds the lot number.
So 94, we see that the thing is worth $1,500. Now, we can see other lots up here are $400, so we know that the house was built before 1925. At this time, it shows that a Lou W. Carroll owns the house. That could be short for Lewis.
At this point, Crabtree will work backwards through the older land tax books, searching for Lou Carroll and Lot 94 until either the name or the lot value changes, indicating a switch in ownership or the time of the home's construction.
So what's going to change in these records that gives you a...
Well, what's going to happen is I'm going to hit a part where it's going to be worth a lot. And so in theory, sometime in that year time frame, it went from a lot to a house.
Then, bingo.
Okay, here we are. So right here, it was owned by Land Security Companies, which was the one who was actually marketing and selling and owned the lot, and it was only worth $125. So sometime between June 2nd of 1922 and June 1st of 1923, that's when that house was built.
Crabtree's research could end at this point, or he could now dig into old city directories and newspaper articles to learn more about the home's previous owners and what changes it has undergone through the years. This is valuable information for homeowners like Brian and Susan Kamey, who are currently renovating what's now their third property at 1257 East Delmar in Springfield's Roundtree neighborhood.
When we do renovation work, we usually uncover things from those people and find things in the house, so it's always kind of cool.
Documents show the home had a few additions before the Kameys moved in. They've since upgraded its electrical, plumbing, and HVAC, and they're working to preserve original features of the home, which was built in 1930.
The exterior is an English Tudor style with the stucco, and it is the original stucco. And the plaster walls actually had the horsehair in it, which is really cool.
Crabtree, who was representing the sellers at the time the Kameys bought the home in 2015, had already done research on the property. He's provided them with, among other things, the home's original abstract of title, plus photos of previous occupants.
And here's a picture of Mrs. Bruce, and this is the in the backyard. And the planter is still right over there. Like, we kept that.
The Kameys have returned the home to its original Tudor style, a white exterior, which had been painted tan, along with brown trim. They've replaced the brick driveway with a concrete one, but have redistributed the bricks throughout the yard for landscaping and a patio.
So it was a great way to retain them. They have the markings of the brick foundry that made them from all over the southwest Missouri. So that's kind of cool.
And then we have all the nice built-ins too.
Inside, several originals remain. The upstairs bathroom's lime green tile, the stair railings and treads, and a ceramic gas fireplace insert. There's a picture rail molding system just below the ceiling. By hanging artwork from a hook affixed to the molding, it prevents the use of nails or screws, thus preserving the home's lathe and plaster walls.
So it's really easy to move your art or to take it down, and you don't damage your walls. I mean, I wish modern homes did this. It's just a great way to hang artwork.
An excited Hildy and Scout, the Kameys' two dogs, bound across the hardwood floor as I'm introduced to the home's dated coat closet, which is almost entirely fuchsia pink.
And then we have the quilted vinyl shelf liner with the gold trim scallop going across it. So this is something that is, when we opened the closet, we said it has to stay. I mean, it is just totally how the house was.
There's even a button on the floor of the dining room, which someone sitting at the table would activate with their foot. The Kameys believe it was used years ago to alert the home's maid. This person used to live above the garage, documents show, and could be paged through the buzzer either in their bedroom or in the kitchen.
When they're finished with the kitchen remodel, that buzzer will be working again, so I can call Susan in with my buzzer.
That's right.
Back at the Greene County Archives, Richard Crabtree has just identified when the home at 521 East Lauren was built using old land tax books. You'll recall Lou W. Carroll was listed as the owner. We can confirm that and learn more about Carroll with the help of the home's original address, which Crabtree found using the Sanborn map. Since address numbers in Springfield changed in 1948, any reference to the property on Lauren Street, either in old newspaper articles or a city directory, would be by the original number of 455. Crabtree grabs an address book.
And one of the reasons we do this is to figure out who they were possibly married to, did they have kids, and then where they worked. So we're going to look up Carol. Here's a Leo W. So it's not Lou, it's Leo. Another reason why we look at this.
Turns out Crabtree had mistaken the cursive O in Leo for a W.
It was actually Leo the whole time.
It was always Leo, not Lou. Yeah.
Should he choose to dig deeper, Crabtree could learn about the owner and their family through sites like Ancestry.com. Back then, home building and remodeling projects were often published in the local paper, so sorting through old microfilm or using newspapers.com, which digitizes decades-old articles, could prove useful. Crabtree says people tend to buy older homes for historical purposes and the way they're constructed. Some, the Kameys included, also like to know who used to live there. And while he enjoys a good search through the Greene County Archives, Crabtree says homeowners could make his hobby a lot easier if they think twice before discarding old documents.
All that stuff that some people think is just old garbage is not. It's valuable. And if you don't know what to do with it, there's plenty of us that they can bring it to and we can utilize it.
I'm Scott Harvey, KSMU News.